Praise him whose way of pain ye trod, and crown him Lord of all. Please be seated. I have to wonder when you hear this particular passage of Scripture. You hear a lot of Scripture in the Episcopal Church, so don't ever let anybody tell you we're not Bible-believing. But when you hear this particular passage, I wonder what really catches your breath. What stops you in your tracks, maybe? For me, it's lay down your life, take up a cross, and follow. I mean, I try to follow. I think we all do, in one way or another. Sometimes we get a passage of Scripture and it's pretty far forward or backward or another place from where we were the previous week. This story happens about 30 seconds after we finished last week. And you may remember, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, knowing for once that he had the right answer, like that eager child, I remember this, being in high school, and "I've got the answer, please call on me." And you're called on, and Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then he's basking in glow, and of course his name is still Simon, and that's the point in which Jesus renames him Peter, the rock. And then Jesus keeps going on and says, "I must go to Jerusalem. Not I might and not I may, I must. And I must suffer and die and be raised." And the star pupil pulls him aside because now he knows better than the person he just claimed to be the Son of the living God. And he pulls a sleight of hand and says, "Oh God, don't let this be true. You can't do this." What he really meant was, "I don't want you to do this." I imagine there were some parents or some friends of people who went to counter-protest in Charlottesville who said, "Don't go there. Don't do it. God, don't let that happen." I know there were, people who told Jonathan Daniels, a seminarian in the 60s, not to go to Selma, not to cross that bridge, not to do what he felt he was called to do because it would put his life in danger. And so Peter is just doing what we all do for those we love. We want to keep them safe. The more faithful thing would have been for Peter to say, "Lord, I'm terrified for you, for myself. What will we do without you?" He didn't seem to notice the part about Jesus being, "I'll be raised." He just stuck with the, "I'm going to be killed." So on a day when we are claiming Jesus is who Jesus is, in him after him, what difference does that make? The fact that Jesus says he must go is completely pivotal to the whole understanding of who he is and what he is. Is he just a man who has a lot of good advice and wisdom? Or is he the still point around which the whole universe revolves in the crucifixion? Jesus has to do what he has to do. And when Peter tries to stop him, his response is, "Get behind me, you scandal." It's the Greek word, scandalon, which is a stumbling block. He's just named Peter the rock he'll build the church on. Has the church ever been a stumbling block?
Yes.
To the gospel?
Yes.
Yes, it has. So something is called a We are called to do something more than just go along with what the church says. We are called to what the collect called true religion. True religion, I believe, is when we discern something about God's call for us in a personal way, in a contextual way, in a way that matters to our lives, the sphere we operate in. I don't have control over what happens in Syria or in Houston, but I certainly do have power and choice about whether I go along with the way of the world or the way of the gospel in my day-to-day life with you and with all the people I interact with here in Augusta. Every one of us has that power to follow the way of Jesus or the way of the world. And that's what Paul's letter is about to the Romans. Apparently, nothing has changed. The way of the world puts me first. The way of the gospel puts the other first. The love of God, service, trust. You're probably tired of hearing about this book I've been reading by Robert Capon. It's called The Mystery of Christ. And he's talking about part of what Paul's talking about today and all that Jesus' whole life and resurrection is about. He says, what really has made a mess of the world? Grace? Forgiveness? Turning the other cheek? Or is what has made a mess of the world pride, guilt, punishment, vengeance, and retribution? The way of the world. The way of Jesus is to be completely countercultural, to love the other ahead of the self. We all hear it again and again. And yet this is one of those gospels that everything revolves around. So Paul is telling these Roman Christians in Rome exactly what he thinks they need to do to buck the world as it is. Because every one of those acts he talks about cost them something, a piece of their life. But just like Peter, don't let us forget that what Jesus promises is a new life in place of the old one. Not just the cross, but also the resurrection. The resurrection only comes through the cross. Through letting go of some piece of yourself, maybe your whole self. So the question, always the question, as we operate day after day, for as many days as each one of us is given, is how do we take up the cross today? Die to self in some way that matters to the gospel, and be resurrected into a new creature. Amen.